Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by EdgeBoost. EdgeBoost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today.
Howdy, y'all, degenerate Renos. Boy, bobbling up already. Howdy ho, degenerinos. This is the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 356 is going to go out to the Ultimate Fighter. My co-host says I should dedicate it to that. Ultimate Fighter is lame. I'm not going to watch it, but he will. No spoilers, though. No one yell anything into your podcast players because my co-host has not seen the first episode yet. Thanks for coming to the show. I am Jeff Chalks Fox, usually the chalky half of the pair here. We are here to break down, not the Ultimate Fighter, but the UFC on ESPN, Cara France versus Albazi, depending on how you say it. We did the prelims yesterday, so if you haven't heard yet, go back a episode to get all our prelim picks. Today, we're going to go through the six main card fights, and then we're going to give you our locks, our dogs, our prop picks, and our parlays. Not doing it by myself. Let's bring in the tough lover himself, Daniel Gummy Vreeland. Hello.
Do you hit? So I get the hatred for tough. I very much do.
I don't hate it. I just don't pay attention to it.
You're not my only podcast co-host who hates the Ultimate Fighter. In fact, one, if you allow him to, we'll just rant about it for most of an episode. But here's my question for you. Do you at least appreciate that they changed up the format for this one?
They did.
They're giving.
I don't pay attention. Like I said,
they're giving us a whole bunch of returning fighters.
Oh yeah, I know. I recognize a lot of names, like Roosevelt Roberts. I believe I saw, right?
Yeah, Roosevelt Roberts, and they got the Kurt Hollibaugh is on there, yep. And like who is the Irish kid who won it that year?
Conor McGregor.
No, he didn't win the Ultimate Fight. Brad Katona.
No.
Brad Katona is on there. Timur Valiyev is on there. Is Katona? Oh, he just trained in Ireland. He trained in Ireland for a while.
What happened to him?
He went and fought for Brave for a little bit. And now he's on the Ultimate Fighter. So they've got some guys returning, and then a whole bunch of people who were either not in the UFC or showed up on Contender Series, or like a whole bunch of guys who've been kicking around LFA for the last 5 years. You know, guys like Aaron McKenzie and Mando Gutierrez and like people like that. So it's kind of a fun format of like guys with their last chance and guys with their second chance.
Maybe I'll watch the fights. That's what I did for the last few seasons I watched. I just skipped to the fight part. So maybe I'll do that.
Yeah. It sounds like at least that will be intriguing.
Yeah. Because like Conor McGregor and Michael Chandler, no, neither of those guys. I want to hear anything.
Yeah, neither of those guys do it for me as of late. Like that's not a duo I want to see. And it's probably going to be awkward too, because I feel like, you know, you can say what you like about Conor McGregor. You can not like him. You can like him. I don't really care either way. He is good at getting under people's skin, and when he trash talks, you like kind of have to listen to him, like because he's good at it, right? And Michael Chandler just talks like a fourth grader hitting comebacks.
Meathead, perhaps you could call him.
Yeah, one might call him that.
Not me, but one.
No, but one.
Neither of us would. All right, let's get down to some real fights now, shall we? Barely real. Some of these are barely real fights, but no. The UFC is putting on a fight night this week, so of course we are going to cover it after I tell you about Edge Boost. This episode is supported by Edge Boost. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be an extremely valuable tool. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll. You can get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. Double down on a favorite bet you like, or even use it to create an awesome middle or even hedge. You can, like I said, with last episode with NFL season coming up, you made like a whole bunch of futures. You don't want to, you don't have the bankroll to tie up a whole bunch of money in it. Then boom, you can get an extra $2,500 off Edge Boost for that. But here's the best part. Edge Boost isn't some sleazy loan shark, as they charge zero interest. Do you know any other ways you can access more money to place on your favorite bets without paying any interest? Support SGPN and grow your bankroll by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. To sign up, that's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, let's jump into things with a lightweight fight. Jamie Malarkey versus Muhammad John Naimov. Naimov, Hillman is a nickname. Did we ever talk about this nickname or explain it, or do we have an explanation?
We do not.
Okay. He's 8-2, 3 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's never been finished in a fight. This is a short notice, a debut in the UFC. Ding, ding, ding. Alarm bells are going off. But he took this fight, what, early this week, right? Monday, maybe? Sunday?
Yeah, I think technically he took it at the end of last week. Okay. But we found out about it then, yes.
Got it. He was 0-1 in the Contender Series. He's won 3 straight fights, including his last fight via TKO. He used to fight at featherweight, so down a weight class. He was outstruck in his Contender Series fight by 2.4 strikes per minute. He's at plus 350. Jamie Malarkey, 16-5, 10 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. 4-3 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights and 4 out of 5. He also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Sorry for new listeners if that confuses you, what I just said there. Used to fight at featherweight as well. 2013 pro MMA debut. 3 inches taller than Naimov. 4 inches of reach on him. Striking, active striking, and grappling stats are better than Naimov, but Naimov is based off of 1 fight. Malarkey's been outstruck in the UFC barely by 0.15 strikes per minute, and he's at minus 400. I will always go first off the main card. Obviously, I'll be taking Malarkey. You got to fade short notice fighters, especially this short of notice, especially if they're debuting, especially if their opponent is a veteran who's better than them, and that's all those boxes are checked off with his matchup. So Malarkey's the pick.
Did you say negative 400?
Yeah, it's come down. It was what, 900 open, I think.
Yeah, it was when I last saw it. It was 650. So it's nice to see that it's coming in that direction. I almost wonder if it is the old OV rub that he's got an Eastern European sounding name, yeah. And people are betting on him. If that's the case, like, they're going to be in for a rude awakening, because, you know. Look, Naimov is a talented dude, right? Like, I have no problem with him being in the UFC. He's won a couple for Titan and Tough Enough and, like, organizations like that. Like, he's kind of got the profile of somebody who might get a second shot on Contender Series, because he failed miserably on his first one. He got badly out-grappled by Colin Anglin. Remember Colin Anglin?
Yes.
Okay, and Colin Anglin did not have a good stint in the UFC. He lost 2 in a row. He's since been released by the UFC, and he's lost 2 more. He's on a 4-fight losing streak, which is only not 5, because he out-grappled Muhammad John Naimov with no problem. And the thing about Jamie Malarkey is Jamie Malarkey is, like, low-key a sneaky good wrestler. Like, I think people forget that, like, when he needs it and he needs to go to the well, he hits that takedown. He does a really good job on top. So, yeah, I like Malarkey a lot. Hey, if that number's coming down, let's let it keep creeping down, too.
Yep, definitely. All right, let's go to the only female fight on the main card, women's flyweight, Karine Silva versus Caitlin Souza. All right, Souza, Esquintadinha. Do you know what that means?
Yeah, it means, because Esquinta is it hothead? Little hothead?
Yes, hotheaded, yeah, or little hot. Yeah, the when Google Translate never puts the little part in, but we listeners of the show know that that's what inha means, is little. So, yes. She's a little hot-headed, or is she little and hot-headed?
I'm pretty. That usually means you're little and hot-headed.
Little in size, right?
Yes, correct.
All right, she's 13-3, Souza. 8 knockouts, 1 submission. She's been knocked out twice, submitted once, so all of her losses have come via finish. This is her UFC debut. She went 2-0 in a victim, was the champion there. as part of a five-fight winning streak, as well as the Invicta title. She also has multiple regional championships on her
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. She used to fight down at strawweight, up at bantamweight. She's at plus 190. Killer Karini Silva, 15-4 with 9 knockouts, 6 submissions. So she's finished all of her wins. She'd been knocked out once, submitted twice. One and only the UFC. Won her last review of submission. She's won 6 straight fights. She's not lost since May of 2019. Used to fight, same thing as Souza, down a weight class, up a weight class. 2013 was her pro MMA debut. She's been outstruck in the UFC by 1.46 strikes per minute, but she won that fight. She's an inch shorter than Souza, minus 225. And it's you.
I'm going with Silva here. Here's the thing. I like Souza. She looked good in her Invicta fights to win the title. The one against Christina Williams. I mean, she did what she had to. But the problem is that, like, if you watch that fight back, she throws a lot of kicks, and when they get caught, she almost just, like, doesn't stop the other person from taking her down because she wants to grapple. The bottom line is she's fine being on her back if you're willing to grapple her. She'll just, like, concede a takedown so that she can be on her back. And I think the problem against Karini Silva is that Silva will just get on top, and she'll stay safe. She'll stay away from the armbar. She'll let her throw her hips around if she needs to. She'll posture up. She'll land a couple of strikes. And then she'll pass or something like that. So I think we have somebody who's going to be way too willing to work off their back versus somebody who can stay safe and do what she needs to on top in Silva. I don't really love the fact that this is over negative 200 because, like, if you look at them striking wise, is Karini Silva a better striker? For sure. Not better enough to really warrant wanting to lay -$2, but I still think Karini Silva is the right play here.
Yep, I agree. Better fighter in this situation. Like you, I'm not sure about the line on this fight, though. So, all right, let's move to flyweights in the men's side. Tim Elliott versus Victor Altamirano. Altamirano, El Magnifico, 12-2, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted once. 2-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights in 6 of 7. He went 1-0 in the Contender Series. He was the LFA champion. He's got 1 inch of height, 4 inches of reach, and he's 5 years younger than Elliott. He's more active landing strikes, and he's outstruck his contender series and UFC opponents by 1.5 strikes per minute. He's at plus 150. Elliott, 18-12-1, 3 knockouts, 6 submissions, but knocked out once, submitted 5 times, 7-10 in the UFC over 2 stints. He's gone 3-1 over his last 4, including winning his last fight. That was back in March of 2022. He used to fight up at bantamweight, 4-0 in the Ultimate Fighter, was a regional champion, 2009 pro MMA debut. Did we mention Tim Elliott as an OG? He's an OG too, obviously.
Yeah, I said he made his debut on Miller versus Diaz on UFC on Fox.
That was yesterday's podcast as well, but yes, true. All right, strike differential, I said it was 0.72 strikes per minute. He outstrikes his opponents. He's got better grappling stats than Altamirano, minus 170. I'm going dog Altamirano, taking a younger fighter at a lower weight class, younger and bigger fighter at a lower weight class, on a nice roll. And I just don't know where Elliott's headspace is going to be now. The marriage issues, his training, longtime training camp has fallen apart. He's moved across the country to a new training camp, and he's been out of action for over a year. So all that makes me think that Altamirano is worth a shot at a dog here. So give me plus 150.
Hey, how'd that work out for Mackenzie Dern?
We shall see. Tim Elliott is no Mackenzie. Yeah, well, we'll see. If he's angry enough, then Altamirano is gonna get his head kicked in. Yes.
Yeah. And so I think it's extremely. It's always a bad idea to try to handicap fights on out of the cage stuff. If you want to say Altamirano is a better striker, he's faster, he's bigger, he's younger, and you want to use all those things, I think that totally works. But I've seen a lot of people out there be like, "I'm fading Tim Elliott because his life is in shambles." Sometimes that's when you see the best version of somebody. Like, they just need to go do what they do. So if you think he's going to lose for skill reasons, sure, pick against him for skill reasons. But I'm here to warn you, don't pick against this guy just because he's got shit going on in his life. Lots of fighters have shit going on in their life, and lots of times you don't hear about it. And I'm going to go with Tim Elliott. I think he is so much better of a grappler here than Altamirano. I know you said that Altamirano is bigger and stronger. But if you look at Altamirano's record career-wise, his biggest issues have been with guys who can out-grapple him. One of his losses is a rear naked choke loss to Jared Brooks. I think Jared Brooks might actually be better than Tim Elliott. He might actually be one of the best featherweight flyweights in the world, rather. But like, if you look at, so he lost that fight by rear naked choke. He's only got two pro losses, but if you go to his amateur record, he's actually lost three of his seven amateur fights by rear naked choke too. He's had an issue with people getting on his back and taking advantage of that. And you saw that even a little bit in the Carlos Candelario fight on Contender Series. Candelario got after him a little bit on the ground. And really, I think if Carlos Candelario is the type of guy who can get on your back and work away and push the envelope on the mat, I really think Tim Elliott's going to give him a hell of a time when this gets to the grappling. And look, Carlos Candelario, for just for the record, the first time he was on Dana White's Contender Series, he was out grappled, or he gave up 8 takedowns and didn't score any. His second time, he scored 5 against Victor Altamirano. 5 against Victor Altamirano. I just think Altamirano's going to give up takedowns and be in a bad spot here against Elliott.
Tim Elliott's just one of those guys you like and you always pick, though. So,
he's got a reason to like him, though, right? Like, he out-grappled Tagiru Lavakoff. He out-grappled Jordan Espinoza. He out-grappled Ryan Benoit. And all of those guys might be better grapplers than Altamirano, a guy who, like, flails every single time he's in a clinch. Give me Tim Elliott here.
All right. You got him. I'm also going to give you and all our listeners a couple contests you can win. NBA Finals and Stanley Cup Final contests. We got two more free contests for you. Like I said, the Stanley Cup and the NBA Finals. All you got to do is you can enter exclusively over on the SGPN app, so definitely download that if you haven't already. It's a series of props and game props contest with a $100 SGPN gift card up for grabs for each contest. Download the SGPN app and enter to...
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Day. All right, we're going to move up to lightweights, to the OG of the card. Oh, actually, I guess Arlovski is the OG of the card. The second OG of the card.
Yeah, Jim Miller is not the OG on here.
Nope. only time you ever can say that. Lightweights, Jim Miller versus Jared Gordon. We'll see if Gordon actually is a lightweight. I put that in the Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. He's got to cut 27 pounds, 37 pounds. He was 193 when they called him less than 2 weeks ago for the fight.
That seems bad.
You got to get down to 156. Yeah, it seems bad. Plus, he said he just got over a little concussion issue after his last fight, too. So, yeah. All right. Let's tell you about Jim Miller first.
Yeah.
I think I'm showing my hand here. Jim Miller, A-10 is the nickname. He's 35-17 with one no contest. 6 knockouts, 19 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 3 times. 24-16 in the UFC with one no contest. He's gone 3-1 over his last 4. He did lose his last fight. All 3 of his wins have come via finish. All 3 of his last wins. Used to fight at down a weight class and up a weight class. So featherweight and welterweight. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2008 was his pro, not pro debut, UFC debut. Actually, he is, no, Arlovski 2000, excuse me. So 2008 in the UFC. 2005 was his pro MMA debut. 3 inches of reach on Gordon. He's been outstruck over his UFC career by 0.23 strikes per minute, plus 158. Flash Gordon, 19-6 with one no contest, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. Knocked out 4 times, submitted once. 7-5 with one no contest in the UFC. He's taken this fight, as I mentioned, on short notice, less than 2 weeks notice, I believe. 1-2 with one no contest over his last 4 fights. No contest was his last fight, where a clash of heads rendered him unable to continue. Used fight at featherweight, missed weight a couple times there. He also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Holy moly, there's a lots on this card. And we're not done. 2011 was his pro MMA debut. Inch of height over Miller, 5 years younger. Striking and active striking stats in his favor. And he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 2.04 strikes per minute, which is a very nice number for a guy who has this many fights under his belt. Minus 175. And it is you.
So I'm going to go Jim Miller. What number did you say we're getting Jim Miller at?
Yep.
What number?
We're getting him at 158 plus 158. A nice fun number.
Yeah, yeah. I will also say this. So here's a couple of fun Jim Miller stats. Jim Miller fought for IFL, which is wild that there's somebody still in the UFC. Actually, two guys in the UFC, because didn't Arlovsky fight IFL too?
I think so.
Yeah, and he fought Bart Palaszewski, who is another one of my favorites back in the day in IFL. The other thing is, do you know when the last time that Jim Miller beat somebody who he didn't put out?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I mentioned his last three wins have been knockouts, but it may have gone back even further than that. Tell us, Dan.
The last time he beat somebody who he didn't finish was Thiago Alves in 2016.
Whoa.
Which is a crazy stat. But also, yeah, like you mentioned the Jared Gordon concussion issues and just being knocked out. And I know that that doesn't go down as a loss, right? That goes down as a no contest.
Yep.
That doesn't change what it did to his brain chemistry.
Nope.
Because he was out. He was out. And whether or not that was Bobby Green's head that did the damage or his elbow, as Bobby Green tried to claim, it doesn't matter. It scrambled his brain. He shouldn't be coming back this fast. And as we learned, Jim Miller has been hitting really hard lately. You know, Nicholas Motta found that out the hard way. And I think he's going to crack Jared Gordon here. And the other thing is, too, is like when Jared Gordon is getting the worst of striking exchanges, he's got his wrestling, right? Like that's what he did to Paddy Pimblett. When Paddy started piecing him up on the feet, boom, I got my wrestling here. Does he want to grapple with Jim Miller? I don't think so. Who would want to grapple with Jim Miller? So, yeah, I like Jim Miller quite a bit here.
Yep, Dan pretty much laid it out. Jim Miller is my pick as well, as I was hinting to. All right, co-main event time. Featherweights Alex Caceres versus Daniel Pineda. Pineda, the pit, is 28-14 with 3 no contests, 9 knockouts, 19 submissions. That's an insane stat. He's finished all 28 of his wins. So you may want to take the under here. He's been knocked out himself 3 times and submitted 6 times. 5-5 with 1 no contest over 2 stints in the UFC. He won his last fight via submission. He was in PFL for 2 fights. They both have been ruled no contests. He's failed 2 drug tests in the past. Used to fight at lightweight and welterweight, multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/star. There's one more coming, Dan. Pineda, 1-4 in Bellator, 2007 pro MMA debut. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.29 strikes per minute. He's at plus 150. All right, Caceres, Bruce Leroy, 20-13 with 1 no contest, 4 knockouts, 7 submissions. Been knocked out once, submitted 7 times, 15-11 with 1 no contest in the UFC. He's gone 6-1 over his last 7, including winning his last via TKO. Used fight at bantamweight, 2-1 the Ultimate Fighter, 2008 pro MMA debut. Also, he's a pro grappler. 3 inches taller, 4 inches reach on Pineda, 3 years younger, striking and active striking stats in his favor. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.24 strikes per minute. He's at minus 170. Give me the chalk, Caceres, younger, bigger, better striker, better resume. All that is better, better hair. I think that's it. You go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going, dog. I don't believe that Caceres' grappling defense is good enough here. If he stuffs enough takedowns and keeps us on the feet, he's going to win this fight. And it's going to look like a really dumb pick on my part to pick Pineda if he keeps it on the feet. But I just don't know why I would believe that he could. Because, like, Steven Peterson took him down really easily. He went 2-2 taking him down. He netted some top control time in doing so. Kevin Kroom took him down. Kevin Kroom had 7.5 minutes of control time against
his name on this card.
Yeah, it feels wrong. It feels wrong to mention Kevin Kroom. Sorry about that. KC has had half of a fight's worth of control time on Alex Caceres. And like, he's an awful grappler. He's not a good grappler. And so like, then when I see somebody like Daniel Pineda, who is, he's actually a very good grappler, right? He went in there and he out grappled Tucker Lutz, who's a good grappler. He scored a takedown on Cub Swanson and held Cub Swanson down. He out grappled Herbert Burns to a TKO finish. Like, I just believe that that grappling can hold up in this fight, and he's done it against good enough guys that I believe he could do it against Caceres too. So I'm gonna go dog here. I like Pineda.
Okie dokie. Let's get to the main event. It is flyweight fight, Kai Kara France versus Amir Albazi. I will tell you about Kara France first. Don't blink is the nickname. 24-10 with one no contest, 11 knockouts, 3 submissions. Been knocked out 3 times, submitted 3 times, 7-3 in the UFC. He's gone 3-1 over his last 4, but he did lose his last fight via TKO. That was against Brendan Moreno for the pretend championship. He was 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter, used to fight at bantamweight, was a regional champion, 2010 pro MMA debut. He's got inch reach on Albazi. He's more active landing strikes. His strike differential in the UFC is 1.13 strikes per minute in his favor. He's at minus 110. The Prince, Albazi, is 16-1, 5 knockouts, 9 submissions, never been finished in a fight, 4-0 in the UFC. He's won 5 straight fights overall. His last 2 fights, he's won via finish. He's not lost a fight since April of 2019. He also used to fight at bantamweight, 2-0 in Bellator. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt at sportsacademypodcast.com/store. 2009 was his pro MMA debut. He's got an inch of height on Kara France. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.07 strikes per minute. He's got better grappling stats than Kara France. He's at minus 105. So pretty much a pick him on the board. Kara France is a slight dog. Who you got?
Wait, what did you have Kai Kara France at?
Minus 110 is the best we can get him at right now, sadly.
Okay.
He used to be a plus, was he not?
Yeah, it's fluctuated. It's bounced around. Okay. So maybe just wait a little bit if you like either guy until their number becomes a little more favorable, or you can notice a trend. I'm going Kai Kara France in the main event here. I thought when this fight posted, I was going to be like, oh, Amir Albazi is just going to out-wrestle him, right? He's got the wrestling. He's going to get it done. And then I look back at Amir Albazi's resume. Dude, it's bad, right? Like when you look at his resume, it's really bad. It's filled with guys who I don't trust in the UFC. Alessandro Costa, who's not good. Francisco Figueiredo, who was really bad. I mean, I guess maybe the best is Shalmis Shumagulov, who is 1-5 in his last 5. And even if you want to give him the Charles Johnson fight because you thought he won it, which I don't, like maybe 2-4 at best case scenario. Then you got Malcolm Gordon, who's lost 4 out of 6 as well. It only beat the aforementioned Francisco Figueiredo. Like, he has fought a who's who of the worst flyweights in the UFC. And yeah, his wrestling looked good in there, but it didn't look like untouchable. And Kai Kara France has been in there with good wrestlers. You know, like it's not like Kai Kara France has never fought a dude who could wrestle a little bit. And he himself took Moreno down. He stuffed Moreno 3 times. I mean, he went out there and stuffed 12 out of 14 of Askarov's takedowns. And I don't think Albazi is a better wrestler than Askarov. So, like, if you don't think he can get the wrestling going, which, like I'm saying right now, I don't really, you have to ask yourself, like, is there any chance Albazi can strike with him? And I think the answer is no. I think he just gets pieced up here by Kai Kara France and probably worn out with failed takedown attempts, too. So, give me Kai Kara France.
I agree. I will very gladly take KKF at dog money here for sure. Albazi, as you said, resume is just, he's fought no one anywhere near Kara France's level of fighter. And while he's mostly a striker, he's got decent enough defense that he should be able to keep this fight on the feet. So he is our pick.
Worth noting too. I just want to throw this in here for people who have been all over Amir Albazi and his great takedowns and stuff like that. Go watch his only loss. His only loss in his career is to Jose Shorty Torres, who you might remember from his UFC stint. And he lost in Brave. And so you can like pretty easily find the fight and then watch that and tell me how what you think of his wrestling.
There you go. That's your homework. All right. I'll recap. Kai Kara France, we're both in on. I have Caceres C.S. Pineda. We're both in on Miller. He has Elliott. I have Altamirano. We're both in on Silva, both in on Malarkey. what should be your edge boost double down play of this episode? Dan, I'll let you pick it.
All right. Hang on one second. Let me dig into.
Just tell me the name. I'll do the copy.
No, because I don't want you to have to say this. So my edge boost double down play of the day is Tim Elliott.
Boo.
-170. Edge boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge.
You should do that, but don't waste your money on Tim Elliott. God. All right. Let's do our fancy picks. Whose turn is it to go first this week? Do you remember?
You.
Me. Okay. Lock. Give me Castaneda -120 fighting a debut and short notice fighter. The stats say he should win.
Yeah. Same thing. I can't. And this was, by the way, our edge down or edge boost double down play of the day yesterday. Look, dude, Castaneda at -120 seems criminal. That easy one for me.
All right. That means I have to go again already. I haven't even typed it in yet, Castaneda. Let's try to spell it right. Even though I'm the only one that sees the spreadsheet. Who cares if it's spelled right? Okay. I need a dog. We have lots of dogs, actually. Both of us. Some of them the same, some of them not. Who's my dog? Do I want to go Jim Miller? Let's do it. Jim Miller. Let's do Jim Miller. I can't quit him. Plus, this is a fade on Gordon and how he's going to be physically come fight night. So give me Miller +158. Hopefully the fight happens. Hopefully this weight cut goes through.
I'm going to take Felipe Linz. I think the length is going to be a big issue for Maxim Grishin. And I've really been impressed with him since he's decided to stop being a big fat heavyweight.
There you go. Dan likes his long men. All right. What do I want for my fancy dancy prop pick? Let me think. What is Karine Silva inside the distance at? Do you have it in front of you?
Let's see. Karine Silva wins inside the distance, even money.
All right, I'll take +100. I'll take that. ITD Karini, I guess actually is how I should say her name. Karini Silva. ITD +100.
All right, I'm going to take Andrei Arlovsky by decision.
Yes. If he's going to win, that's how he's going to win.
Yeah, like it's not much better than his money line. It's only +150. But like he's not going to go in there and knock Dante Mays out. You know, he's not going to go in there and submit him unless he does so by exhaustion. But even then, he's like so safe. I think the decision's pretty easy here. So I'll take Arlovsky by decision.
All right. Recap. We both have Castaneda as our locks. He has Linz as his dog. I have Miller and he has Arlovsky inside the distance as a prop pick. And my prop pick is Silva. Sorry, he has Arlovsky decision as a prop pick. I have Silva inside the distance. That's my prop pick. Now, time for everyone's favorite part. Tugger Manjong, Superfan Parlay. A two-fight parlay is going to get you at least 10 times your money. Gumby, what is it this week?
So I'm going to give you guys a stat that I think is kind of astonishing for this year and actually continues from a trend from last year. So far in 2023, there have been 13 men's flyweight fights so far this year in the UFC. Do you want to guess how many of those 13 have gone to the judges' scorecards?
11.
11 have been finishes. 2 have gone to the judges' scorecards.
No way. Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay.
Twice.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, twice men's flyweight fights have gone to the judges' scorecards. And let me tell you something. I'm going to just take 2 flyweight men to win inside the distance here. I'll take Kai Kara France inside the distance. That's +275. And then I'll follow that up with Tim Elliott inside the distance. That's +350. Ugh. So if you grab both of those guys inside the distance, you're going to get 1588 on the return, which,
nice.
Yeah, let's just talk about the fact that Altamirano has given up 4 submissions in his career up against a submission guy. Kai Kara France probably going to wear out Amir Albazi in there. Don't expect that one to go 5 rounds. So, give me the big hungry man inside the distance for the little guys.
All right, there you go. That's it for us. We'll be back on Sunday to recap how all of our picks did and get set for the upcoming week in fights. You can find us until then, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord, on Twitter, SGPNMMA, and at Gumby Vreeland and at Jeff Fox Writer. You can get my Substack, sign up for it, get my MMA writings into your inbox, and enter my pick'em contest at moneymma.substack.com. You can get more Gumby in your ear holes at the Top Turtle MMA podcast this week. He has on Ayman Zahabi and Damon Blackshear. And then you can get all the SGPN goodness at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We'll let Gumby take us out of here.
I'm David Gumby Freeland. He's Bruce Leroy, Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.